they're going to also become more energy efficient because our electrical grid just simply cannot support the amount of electrical vehicles that the government would like to see on the road in the next, you know, decade or two. So, you know, it's one of those self-fulfilled prophecies. It's nice to say, but the reality is there's just not enough electricity to power the cars.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, Carl Gould is with us now. If you follow this man's advice, regardless what business you're in, you're going to make more money. You're going to do better. Carl, it's great to have you on. So the web is ablaze with the showdown between Threads and Twitter. Threads being the Zuck's answer to Twitter. It's gotten a lot of initial publicity. They also started censoring from day one. They also are kind enough to take all of your data and sell it off to whomever the highest bidder is, whether it's CCP, Communist Chinese Party, or Amazon, or whoever the highest bidder is. What's your take on this whole dueling social media instant messaging platform here?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because Meta, Facebook and that owns Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, you know, they've got a couple of advantages here, and they do smell a little bit of blood in the water. In other words, you know, Twitter is on the ropes a little bit. It's not really sure what it wants to be when it grows up. And since Elon Musk bought it, he found out that he's probably got a slightly bigger problem than he thought. Compounded that by the fact that Twitter has never really monetized their platform all that well, whereas Meta has done a great job of monetizing its platforms. But let's look at the difference between the two first. Have you ever had like a friend of yours where if you went to them and you said, hey, listen, I want to tell you something, but can you just keep it, you know, between us? That's Threads. Threads is it's a small group and private inner circle chat and communication and networking tool. Whereas, you know, you have a friend where if you tell your friend, you know, they're going to blab it out to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's Twitter, right? So Twitter is more like your radio channel. You want to share your opinions and your political views and the updates on your particular campaign. Mm-hmm. Whereas Threads is more what's going on. Let's stay up to date between each other, but in a small team group, kind of like a Slack or a Skype is.
Yeah.
So they are very different between the two.
Okay. I totally agree with what you're saying. The one thing that Meta really excelled at was the ad platform. But on the other hand, they now attract the boomers, which by definition is a dying market, or certainly contracting. And really, Instagram has been pulling the whole company along. You know, if I want to see what my friends or college colleagues or fellow high school students are doing, I go to Facebook. And that's just not what Gen Z is into. So what's your take? You think that they can supplant Twitter, or perhaps just put a dent in their users? You know, there's been so many other companies that have tried to unseat the social media giants, whether it's YouTube, Google, Facebook, you name it. There's been a lot of companies that have tried to do what Meta is doing now and with other platforms, and they've achieved marginal success, but they haven't really become the standard like the existing social media platforms.
Yeah. Now, I think what Meta has done really well is that they've recognized that one platform fits nobody. Facebook is the high school reunion. It's where us old folks are on. It's the college reunion. Stay in touch with your friends. But it's where that group is very affluent, and that group spends a lot of money, and that group, it's a trusted platform for that. Instagram is similar. It's just for a younger demographic. It's for the millennial and Gen Z demographic. Now, so they're smart enough to realize that not one platform is for everybody. And that's the problem with Twitter, is Twitter is one platform for everybody, right? On the same platform that I might go follow Ashton Kutcher, I might go for Taylor Swift, I might go for Kim Kardashian, my favorite sports team, my favorite politician, right? That doesn't fit everybody. And what Meta has done really slick is they've recognized that one platform is not for everybody. You know, I don't, my son just told me recently, he's 24. He said, "Dad, I realized I'm officially old." I said, "How'd they know that, Sean?" He goes, "I just opened a Facebook account."
Uh-huh.
Right? He goes, "So why?" Because he's keeping up with his high school buddies. He's keeping up with his college buddies, his army buddies, right? That's the platform for that. And Instagram is its own commercial platform that stands alone. Threads will become that too. Once they get groups, this is where they're headed. They want to get certain specific niche groups together and then market to them as groups. It's a smart move.
All right. Yeah, well, that's why you can never just rest on your laurels. You always got to be thinking. Now, it's supposedly that Elon Musk is in the process of developing X, which is going to cover everything. It's going to cover video, Facebook-like posts, Twitter, and also have financial aspects to it with the payment systems and all of this, which, let's not forget, that's where Musk made his initial fortune. So perhaps he's going to leapfrog everything that all the other players are doing now. All you got to do, they've got a massive user base, and if content creators see a better opportunity of earning revenue through X rather than through Facebook or through Google's various offerings, they're probably going to take it, right?
100%. I agreed. I think this whole story is less about Threads coming out and more about the vulnerability of Twitter. But overall, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, he got rid of most of the overhead. He got rid of the trust and safety department, which comprised like 100-something, quote-unquote, former intelligence agents and FBI agents. He's cut the headcount down by about 80-85%. So maybe it's a leaner, meaner machine that's ready for the challenge.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting because I don't think Threads is all that huge of a to Twitter. I think there are platforms that, you know, TikTok came out, Instagram is still very robust, you know, YouTube Shorts is doing quite well. What tends to happen is we're starting to find out that these apps are going from a very generalist nature where they're trying to grab everybody to a more specialist nature where on that platform for very specific things.
All right. You're making me want to sign up for Threads now, which I am going to do at some point in the very near future. Can you do
Threads? Here's what's happening, Kerry. You're either going to join or someone on your team is going to join and drag you into it. That's how it's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, so you're going to be able to do Threads on your desktop as well as your phone, or is it just a phone app?
I think for corporate use, you're going to use it on your desktop a lot.
Okay.
That's how Microsoft Teams and Slack is used. Everybody has a desktop companion. I think that's going to be the same thing.
All right. Well, and I'm definitely going to download it. Hey, I actually still use a desktop, unlike many of you out there. I know I'm old-fashioned, but for media work, editing videos and audios, it still is. You could use a notebook, but really hard to use a tablet or a phone to do the kind of things that I want to do on it. Hey, what other trends are you seeing here in the business environment post-COVID, post-Ukraine war? All these things are happening kind of around us. The reindustrialization of the United States supposedly is a trend that's coming up. Are you seeing that?
Well, I think over the last 80 years, the United States has, as their part in global economy, has been the design engine distribution center of the world, right? So Apple is not made in America, it's designed in America, right?
Yes.
And it's made somewhere else and then it's distributed. And I think you're going to see that more. There will be some companies like WeatherTech that are made in the United States, but I think you're going to see that less and less. There will always be certain manufacturing here where the product line makes sense, like certain autos and others. But I think you're seeing the U.S. move more towards design and distribution hub of the world. Just like China's the manufacturing hub, U.S. is design and distribution.
Okay, so as far as the electrification trend, you know, we're talking EVs, we're talking decentralized energy, we're talking solar cells, all these things. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, look, it's the reality is that electric cars is really the main discussion point here. Electric cars are not as carbon CO2 friendly as we all think, because the CO2 emissions that are created in order to manufacture are greater than the lifespan of an internal combustion engine run car. But they're going to figure that out. They have to, because in order for the survival of the sector, we're going to have to figure out how to less havoc on the environment in the manufacturing process, while at the same time, they're going to also become more energy efficient, because our electrical grid just simply cannot support the amount of electrical vehicles that the government would like to see on the road in the next, you know, decade or two. So, you know, it's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies. It's nice to say, but the reality is there's just not enough electricity to power the cars. And the emissions to manufacture the cars is still a problem. So I think as they work on technology to get more electricity to the outlet and less harmful emission of gases in order to manufacture the device or the automobile, I think then we'll see a real take up and scaling of the electrical industry.
All right. Well, it's definitely an ongoing trend, and you know, also with all the IRA, the whole Inflation Reduction Act. I'm kind of laughing as I say that, but maybe it's working. Inflation's heading down a bit. But with all of that, they've made a lot of these investments guarantee not just winners, but huge, huge winners. So again, government putting its thumb on the scale, picking winners and losers. We know that has a checkered past for sure, but it seems like this trend though is firmly in place.
Oh, it's coming. And you know, on paper, it sounds like the right thing to do, and it seems like the right narrative, and it's a big enough idea worth pursuing. You know, on its merits, who wouldn't want more energy efficiency, greater choice for consumers? You know, who wouldn't want that? Of course, right? And now, so on paper, it's a good idea. It's just early days, and you know, eco-friendly and green energy has always lacked the efficiency of fossil-based energy, and they're just going to have to figure that out. But it is the right idea. We just need to execute on that idea.
All right. Easier said than done. You know, when you turn on your, when you flip the switch in your house and the lights come on, people think, you know, it's just the way it's supposed to be. But to get that electric from its source to you has taken trillions of dollars of investments over the past 100+ years. And I think what the so-called experts, they fail to take that into consideration. You know, there's a system in place and it involves a lot of moving pieces. Yes, the new digital economy can make those moving pieces and add in others and make them viable, but it's a monumental task is what I'm saying. Tens of trillions of dollars over the next couple of decades.
Yeah, and it's no, you know, the risk that's involved often gets overshadowed, because without entrepreneurs and businesses that are willing to take the risks to find these things and really nurture these, you know, these businesses, we're not going anywhere. So we really do need them. And until someone's willing to take that risk, you know, nothing's going to go anywhere.
Yeah. So the government's put all these people taking the risk and they've literally signed a blank check. There's no limitations on many of the subsidies involved, the incentives involved. they could run into the trillions and trillions of dollars. Eventually, government's going to say, we just can't afford this, or we don't need to do it anymore. The industry's on its own. Have fun. And then that's going to be interesting to see who's swimming against the tide, or who, you know, as Warren Buffett says, you don't know who's wearing a bathing suit until the tide goes out, right?
Right. There you go.
So, all right. Well, very interesting times. Hey, Carl, just tell us where we find you, how we connect with you on the web.
So carlgould.com is a good place to where you can learn a lot about me, and also my personal website, carl360.com, carl360.com is another way to find me. And you could reach me there, and that's the best way to interact.
All right. Links are in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Click them. You'll get right through to Carl's sites. If you got a question or comment, shoot me an email when you're at the site. Please sign up for your free newsletter. Got a great one going out early next week. Carl, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Kerry.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.